First Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you to come on in. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We have been rejoicing. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes, that was my line, Lady Kim, but since you said it already, I just affirm that because we have so much to be thankful for, and God has been extremely kind toward us. And anytime he's allow us to see another day, anytime he allows us to have the activity of our limbs and continue to be productive and being used for kingdom purposes, then we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give him praise. And so welcome to the Lady Kim Show as we prepare for this time together tonight. It's going to be a blessed time. I already feel it. And Lady Kim is going to navigate us through this process, and we're going to go right on in and just see what God has in store for us. Y'all see she pinching me under the table. You can tell
you
how she...
You can tell.
Let my hand go so I can put it up here.
What are you talking about?
All right, somebody, I hope y'all not hearing all of this, but we hope if somebody is watching, to let us know you're getting the clear signal and that the sound is coming in. We're going to have an exciting study tonight. You know, we picked several topics and asked you to share with us what were some of the things that you wanted us to discuss. And prayer has been the focal point for quite a while now, going on a couple of months. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim? And so we want to continue to talk about prayer, but more specifically, we want to get into this whole area of understanding how we deal with adversity and what is our response and what should be our posture in terms of going through difficult times and just see how essential prayer is for us as we navigate through difficulties and trials and tribulations. And the word, God's word speaks to that. But before we get into that, we have several scriptures that we're going to just reference and try to give you some guidance. And then we, of course, encourage you to share any comments or any questions that you might have. Did anybody say we're coming in clear yet? No. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal and that we're coming in pretty good. But we want you to just, if you have questions as we go through this process, to let us know, and we'll try our best to answer those. If not, we'll make sure that we have an answer for you. And if not, before this study ends next week, we'll have something to share. Is that right, Lady Kim?
Yes.
All right. I'm just checking. All right. Well, let's have prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. God, we thank you for this day, and we bless you, and we honor you, and we yet give you praise. We're extremely grateful for you including us in your plan for this day, and we give you honor, and we're excited about the possibilities that you yet have in front of us. We thank you for what you've already done and what you're doing right now. And so now, God, we pray that even as we prepare for this time together around your word, that our faith might increase and
yes,
that we might be who you've called us to be,
yes,
okay, and that we might understand clearly what you would have for us to do when we're facing adversities and how important and essential prayer is in that whole process. And so we give you praise in advance, and we thank you for each listener and those who will hear this particular study later. And now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Forgive us of our sins, we pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Somebody give God a thumbs up, or somebody let us know that you are in agreement with this prayer and in agreement with what God is about to do in this particular time that we're going to spend together tonight.
Amen.
All right. I see the thumbs up coming in. And
the sound is clear.
All right. Well, as we always do, we start out with just kind of reflecting. This was another powerful weekend,
mm-hmm,
not just yesterday, but
mm-hmm,
Saturday. And I tell you, God showed himself strong again, and we're grateful that he continues to remember us.
Amen.
As we prepare for the weekends and the worship experiences. Just tell us a little bit about the prayer breakfast, Lady Kim, and then you can, you know, go into any notes or any thoughts you might have from the experience on Sunday.
Okay, well, we had an awesome time, and the Lord, as Dr. Murray said, on Saturday at our prayer breakfast entitled In His Presence,
mm-hmm.
and I certainly believe we were in His presence, and God showed up and was present in that place in a powerful way. And so, first of all, excuse me, I want to say thank you to everybody, especially to Minister Monique Jones, Minister Loretta Perkins, and Dr. Olu, who chaired the event on
Give me some water.
Saturday. I got tickled in my throat.
Okay.
They chaired the event on Saturday. And so we had a wonderful time. I also want to thank the men for the heavy lifting and the work that they did. They even cooked.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. The men cooked wings and waffles and chicken tenders, and we had fruit and coffee and juice.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was.
The food was good. The help was extraordinary, and the word went forth with boldness and with power as well as prayers. So the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So we know that God is working on our behalf. We thank all those who participated, our youth who prayed, our Evangelist Patterson that prayed, Evangelist Cleveland prayed, Charity Coburn, our youth usher prayed, and then First Lady LaShawna Williams from Mount Olive Baptist Church of Little Rock, Arkansas. She was also one of our designated prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers.
That's it. That's it.
And so God showed up.
Navigated us through the whole
Amen.
Thing.
Amen. Dr. Qualis was our
job.
MC for the day, for the morning. And I gave the word on Saturday morning. So God showed up in a powerful way. And so we just thank God for that. And then on Sunday, yesterday, Pastor continued with his sermon series on Stay Salty, on Stay Salt, and his title was Stay Salty, My Friend. And it comes from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16, and it's a very familiar passage of scripture. That talks about how we're the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, then what good is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just to be cast aside because it's not any good. And it also says that we are the light of the world. We are a city that's, you know, it says like a candlestick, you know, a candle. We, you know, we're the light of the world, and the candle is to be put on the candlestick. To provide light for all those in the house. And so this particular passage of scripture talks about how we're to be salt, flavor, and light those that are in darkness.
All right. And I think part of the emphasis has to do with allowing our witness to be of such that it's attractive, and that it's an anointed witness, and that it's a bold proclamation of us expressing our faith through sharing with others the good news about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about staying salty, we're talking about continuing to preserve and continue to add flavor to that which seems to be many times void of any kind of significance as it relates to people being directed to what God would have for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole essence. And I think what we will experience as we really embrace this whole idea about being salt and not losing your saltiness. Is that a word? Saltiness? Mm-hmm. Without losing your saltiness. I have to check with the professor to make sure I'm on point, so I can make the correction as we go. But we have to make sure that we do what God would require of us to do. And so sometimes people, there's a different terminology for being salty as it relates to how the world views that. And most of the time it's somebody who's angry or upset or has an attitude, and they are not in agreement with what has happened or what is going on. Mm-hmm. And so they have a demeanor about them that says that they're not with the program. Right. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And so the young people say, I'm salty. That means that they're not talking about a biblical saltiness. They're talking about an anger or a frustration with the situation that they find themselves in.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what we told them yesterday that you were going to let us know whether I dealt with any of my points or not. And so did you hear anything as we were preaching yesterday? I saw you taking some notes, and I looked over there a couple of times, and I was trying to get you to do something, but you didn't see me. And so I guess you were taking notes. Did you take some good notes?
I think I always take good notes.
That's not the question. The question is, did you take good notes yesterday?
I took some notes. I don't know if they're good or not.
Okay, that's you just said you always take good notes.
Right? I think I take good notes.
Okay, all right.
But so you might not think I take good
notes. I didn't say that. That's not even the issue. Did you take some notes?
I took some notes, and all you right. did get to one of your points. I think the distinctiveness. Yes, you get the distinctiveness, yes.
Come on, give God praise.
We have lost sight on what gives us power.
Mm.
We've lost sight on what gives us the power, and that's the ability to stay salty.
Okay.
And so you talked about that distinctiveness of salt, mm-hmm. you know. You talked about putting salt on popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the difference between Whitmore's popcorn, Brother Whitmore, and Brother Jerry's popcorn, and Brother Rucker's popcorn.
Okay.
Distinctiveness.
Okay.
You know, and I would liken it to cooking, you know.
Uh-huh.
Everybody can bake chicken.
Okay.
But everybody's baked chicken doesn't taste the same.
All right.
So there's a distinctiveness.
That's good.
You always talk about, I haven't gotten my mother-in-law's macaroni and cheese down quite yet, or my sister-in-law.
You're not salty, are you? I'm not
salty.
Okay.
But I want to let you know that there is a distinctiveness.
Right.
My macaroni and cheese will never be like your mother's macaroni and
wow.
cheese. Because
this is getting where are we going with this?
That's because there's the distinctiveness. There's a difference.
Okay, all right.
There's
all
a
right.
difference. Okay. But the key is not the distinctiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it is the distinctiveness. Not the difference, but that it is, it does its job.
Okay.
It's
okay.
good mm-hmm. for the job.
Right, right.
So even though I don't make macaroni and cheese like your mom, I make good macaroni and cheese. Even though I don't make macaroni and cheese like your sister Gloria, who makes excellent macaroni and cheese, I make good Ooh, macaroni and
I feel,
cheese.
I feel something so. In the room tonight. I don't know what that is, but
so,
I feel it.
Distinctiveness, all right. So don't be salty.
I'm not. Can I say something in defense of what you just said?
Yeah,
just
sure.
You want to go on to the next. I don't want to turn this into that kind of situation, because we got a lot of critical information. But no, Lady Kim, your macaroni and cheese is slamming.
Oh, okay.
And you were there. The last time I told you, you were almost there. Was that my sister? She's got it down to a art, and you're there, and so.
But not quite.
No, you're there. When we go to Chicago, they want you to cook some more macaroni and cheese and all of that, because they running out and they taking it, and they love that macaroni and cheese. So I might be able to get me some macaroni and cheese But no, you there. You there, Lady
okay.
Kim.
Yeah. All right.
What
well,
did they
we're
say?
Talking about that distinctiveness, you know, that we have lost sight of what gives us power.
That quality says
the
she's
ability.
Tapping her pen. Come back. Come back. Come back
no
to reality.
No more mac and cheese.
All right.
All right. No more mac and cheese talk. So we are to share the good news to a hurting world.
That's a bake-off.
All right. We're to share the good news with a hurting world.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it's all about.
Uh-huh.
We are to share what we have. And guess what? If your mom hadn't shared her recipe with me, I would still be struggling. If your mom had not shared her recipe with her daughter, we would still be struggling. So we have to share what is good.
That's good.
And the gospel is good.
The good news.
It's good stuff. It's
good.
The good news.
Yeah.
Yes.
The greatest news that we can ever be possessors of. And I believe God wants us to really... I think that makes the difference, because we're living in some dark times, and we're living in a time where the world needs the essence of the flavor of those who love God and who are willing to be expressive in sharing the good news about what the Lord has done for them. And then to let our light so shine in such a way that people will be able to know that we know God and that God knows us.
Absolutely.
I had breakfast this morning with my brother who came in yesterday, and I asked Dion to join us, and he came over. And so I asked him about the message yesterday, and he said, "Papa, I'm on it. You know, I'm letting my light shine. I'm being salt on my job. I'm not one of those who would be accused of not fulfilling what God would have me to do in terms of witnessing to others." And he said, even though I invite people, sometimes they may not come. And so we told him, just continue to let your light shine. And when the time comes, they'll come.
That's right.
And they'll be attracted to that light.
Mm-hmm.
If you are serious about your relationship with God, your light will shine.
Amen.
Bright.
And sometimes they may not even come to your church.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But what you said to them might draw them to some other
Absolutely.
Church or draw them to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important. And we have to continue to be that light, because the enemy wants us to keep our witness to ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we have to continue to go forth. You know, a lot of times you'll be placed in a situation where you need to speak up, but you're hesitant to speak up. And that's just the enemy trying to make you hold your peace.
That's right.
But the minute you speak up, other people around you will be in agreement with what you said, you know. And so they're just waiting on, God is waiting on a witness. God is waiting for somebody to share. The gospel is worth sharing. It's a story worth telling. So we need to tell it everywhere we go. And sometimes you said this yesterday, we need to speak our witness, not just show it. Sometimes
right.
we want to do Christian deeds, which is good.
Absolutely.
Because the word says be doers
That's
of
right.
the word and not hearers only. You know, but we also need to speak the word.
Right.
You know, we need to not only do the word, but we need to speak it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I said it on Saturday that one of the best gifts we can give our children is the gift of prayer.
Right.
And not only praying silently, but they need to see us praying out loud.
That's right.
They need to hear us calling on the name of the Lord out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thank God for a witness to speak out loud God's blessings and prayers and over our lives. We need to lift up Jesus, because the old song said, if I be lifted up
from
the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. That's Jesus talking. Well, that's the song the songwriter says. And so we're to let our light shine. I think you mentioned that other old song, "This Little Light of Mine." I'm going to let it shine.
Right.
Everywhere I go.
That's right.
I'm going to let it shine. And so we have to let our light shine. And we have to maintain a vibrant witness. We need to be a vibrant vibrant witness to the world.
Okay, okay. Well, we're going to continue to move through this whole thing about how important it is for our witness to be effective and attractive and anointed, and how sharing and really being, like Dr. Seymour said, a salty witness, then others will come. And I praise God for those that were baptized yesterday, and then for those who joined on yesterday, and several people invited people to come. Our Sunday school class for the men, we probably had at least 18 men in our Sunday school class
awesome.
Yesterday. And so we believe that's going to be a continuation, as we had several visitors. And then also on yesterday after church, we had our outreach. Were you finished with what you were about to say as relates to the sermon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the
I
outreach.
Had some more stuff, but that's fine. We need to move on.
The outreach was outstanding, and people were, the bus was crowded. I mean, there were no more seats. We had to drive behind following the bus because all of the seats were taken. And so that's an excellent testimony. And I tell you, it's always amazing. Each fourth Sunday is something different.
Amen.
But we're grateful that we're able to bring hope to the hopeless. And we're grateful that we're able to let our light shine, even in situations where people are struggling with food insecurities.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. That's, so our young people, they dominated yesterday. They did
all day yesterday.
Yeah, half of the bus was young people.
Wonderful.
And so we're excited about that. And so we're looking forward to a continuation of building upon. One of the members said, Pastor, we need to do something in addition to what we're doing. Passing out the plates and that feeding is good, but there's something else, you know. And people, we're praying for people right there on the spot. We're directing people. The men were present, and they were really handling the business yesterday. And so just excited about how people are catching the vision, and they're willing to invest beyond themselves and participate in living out our vision and our mission, and doing what God has called us to be, and staying salty.
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And one last thing before we move on, you said a purposeful living is a call on our life.
Okay.
So we have to live on purpose.
Okay.
Amen.
Did I say that yesterday?
I think you did.
Okay.
Because we got a story to tell.
That's right.
Every last one of us.
All right.
We have a story to tell. And so we have to live purposefully for God.
All right. Well, thank you, Lady Kim. And we praise God for each of you tonight. We have a very interesting topic and a thought that we want to help you with, and hopefully you will engage in. It's the continuation of this whole process of prayer. And last week we talked about the yes, the no, and the weight of God, W-A-I-T, and when it comes to our prayers being answered. Sometimes God puts us in a position of releasing his fullness upon us when we ask, and many times it'll happen just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And other times he will say no. And it's for, you had a little thing, a no, slow, go, or something, glow.
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
I don't.
Okay. But you said that.
I said something, yeah. I wrote it down.
You don't have your notes
right.
But sometimes God would tell us no, and many times we feel the rejection of God because we always want him to say yes. But God is not rejecting us. Many times he's protecting us and preparing us mm-hmm. for what he's getting ready to release in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I remember the man that he healed, that the Gadarene,
mm-hmm.
and how after he released him from the demons, and the whole town was able to witness that this was the man who was in the cemetery crying out and was, you know, really doing harm to himself. And once he released him from the demons that he that was possessing him, he wanted to go with Jesus.
Right.
Jesus says, no.
No.
You stay here. And what I got from that is that he felt that the witness of what he had done would be even more powerful for them to see him walking around clothed in his right mind
right.
than for him to go with him and be a part right. of what he was doing.
Amen. I remember what it was now.
Do you?
No. Slow.
There it is right
grow.
There. Mm-hmm. Brother and then Jefferson
slow.
Got it in his spirit.
Yes. No.
Thank
slow,
you, Brother Jefferson.
Grow. And then
flow.
Dr. Tunstall added flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so, yeah, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says slow down, which means you have to wait.
That's right.
And then sometimes God says, grow. You
That's
know,
right.
you got to grow.
You got to grow in that situation.
In it. You know, it might mm-hmm. not turn out like you want to,
right.
but like you wanted to.
That's it.
That means you have some growing to do.
Right, right.
And then once you go through those phases, then you can flow.
You can flow.
In what it is that God has for you.
That's good.
All
that's
right.
good. So that's a continuation of what we will be talking about even tonight, because the topic for our discussion tonight has to do with how important it is for us to understand the power of prayer mm-hmm. As believers, especially when we are facing adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things about adversity, when you talk about difficulties and misfortunes, and you talk about illness, injury, rejection, loss of a loved one, or struggling even to succeed, all of us will face some form of adversity in our lives.
Right.
And it's not what we go through, but how we come through that makes all of the difference.
That's true.
And so Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but he goes on to say, be of good cheer,
yes.
for I've already overcome. James reminds us to count it all joy. When, not if, but when we go through trials and tribulation, knowing this, that the trying of our faith is what worketh patience, mm-hmm. and let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so I've come to the conclusion, Lady Kim, that many times it's the thing that that we really don't want to go through is what we have to endure in order to get where God is leading us.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Part of our conversation tonight, Lady Kim is going to share several scriptures around how important it is for us to understand our posture in the terms of adversity, and knowing that prayer serves as a lifeline that connects us to God. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
But we ought not wait until we are faced with adversity
right.
to try to find that lifeline.
Right.
What do you think?
Absolutely. So, many of us, we wait until our back is up against the wall
mm-hmm.
to look for that lifeline and say, God, help me get out of this. But when you're in constant prayer, when you pray without ceasing, then you have a reservoir from which to draw from. You know, a reservoir holds the overflow.
Okay.
And so when you have that reservoir to draw from, it's not a struggle to reach. You don't have to reach way down deep to get something
mm-hmm.
to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there at
the
surface.
It's already there.
Yes, and it's easier to navigate. And so,
You talked about in your sermon Saturday about prior prayers.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And how that's really the foundation for what brought us over,
Hallelujah.
You know, and how
yes,
people prayed for us, how people called our name. And we have to have a faith file of remembrance of what the Lord has already done. And so when we get to that place of adversity, when we get to a place in our lives where we feel as if we're not going to be able to survive, all we got to do is pull out that faith file and think about those prior prayers and know that God is making a way somehow.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Do you have there?
Minister Loretta said, if we only pray when we're in trouble, we're in
trouble.
We're
in trouble. That's good. That's
like
real
that.
Good. That's right. So we have to make sure that we don't wait until we find ourselves in a situation and our back is up against the wall and everything is caving in on us, that we try to establish proper relationship with God. But the lifeline is of such that it keeps us connected with God. And so that when we do come up against situations like difficulties, misfortune, injuries, sickness, illness, rejection, loss of a loved one, then we already know that we have the proper connection with God to help us endure whatever it is that we're faced with.
Amen.
And so those scriptures that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
When prayer is a lifeline connecting us to God,
mm-hmm.
us for strength and guidance and comfort during difficult times. That first scripture you talked about was Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7.
Okay.
And Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
Wow. So Paul really is encouraging us as believers to bring our request to God in prayer. Wouldn't you agree with me on
Amen.
That? And he's promising that in this passage that his peace will guard our hearts and our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So God will give us the kind of peace that will allow us to endure. The word says, if we but keep our minds stayed on him,
mm-hmm.
then he will give us perfect peace. Mm-hmm. And so we don't need to wait and try to develop our relationships or connections mm-hmm. when we're faced with adversity. But if we already know that there are going to be times that situations are not going to always line up according to what we might anticipate or
mm-hmm.
expect,
mm-hmm.
we need to keep a constant relationship as it relates to our prayer and our focus. And God is all about relationships. And many times I think we are more about the results, but God is more about the relationship. He said, "No,
mm-hmm.
I want relationship with you." And
mm-hmm.
so when it does turn around for your good,
mm-hmm.
when you do come out, you won't be so caught up in the results, but you will be praising me for the relationship.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Do we have any comments? Look like Dr. Butler was saying, talking about constant prayer is that walk with God, and he talks to us along the way.
Amen.
That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
You had another scripture there.
Yes, and you also had Isaiah 40 and 31.
Okay.
And that's a very familiar passage
mm-hmm.
of scripture.
Right.
And it says, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength.
Right.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Okay. So that's a very familiar passage of scripture. Brother Robert is saying something. I can't hardly read that. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He says, similar metaphor with the men's Olympic team overlooked the opposition team and nearly lost the game when they should have stayed focused throughout the game instead of waiting for the pressure situation. The James wins the game with the last second move to reach their goal.
Okay, all right. So he's talking about one of the Laker team, but I'm not gonna bring
Lord.
That up tonight. But he's talking about how LeBron was shining and helped them. That was before they got there, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And how his goal his goal at the end was really what broke it. But they had lost their composure and they were not focused.
Okay,
and
see.
So they should have been way ahead,
mm-hmm.
but they found themselves struggling trying to make it out of that game. And LeBron came through it in the end with a winning basket to help throw them over the top.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So it's always important to keep our focus. And one thing that prayer does is helps us keep our focus.
That's right.
Because our focus needs to be on the Father.
That's right.
When our focus is on the Father, when the focus is on God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, then our minds can be stayed on Him. That's and good. Everything will work out all right.
That's good.
Thank you for that, Brother Jefferson.
Yeah, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. So we got to learn how to wait on God, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait on.
And He said He would renew our strength,
yes.
Right? And then we will soar like eagles. We'll run, not growing weary. And we will walk without fainting.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's it.
Because sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we don't feel like soaring. Sometimes we feel deflated and defeated mm-hmm. in the midst of the adversity mm-hmm. that we're faced with.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's easy to feel defeated, too.
Yeah.
You know, we've been, some of us, you know, we just coming out of something, and we think we getting a breather or a reprieve, and here comes something else.
That's right.
But like the old folks used to say, if it ain't one thing, it's another.
Another. That's right.
You know. But I'm looking at this screen. I am old folks. Okay. If it ain't one thing, it's another.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
You get the car fixed, and then the refrigerator goes out.
Mm-hmm.
You had those ice chests with ice in it, trying to keep the milk cold and a few food, little food, and get your paycheck and get the refrigerator fixed, and then something else goes wrong.
The washing machine breaks.
Yes, it's just one thing after the other, and so
you're not speaking into that. Into
I am not.
Oh, you're binding all of that spirit right
yes.
there, right?
And they brought it to mind because, you know, I was looking on that Nextdoor app or something, and this young lady was just so so broken and disheartened. She said she lost her job,
mm-hmm.
and she's been looking for another job, and was driving her daughter somewhere, and someone hit her car.
Wow.
It was a hit and run and totaled her car. Now she doesn't have a car. She doesn't have a job. She was just crying out. She said she doesn't know what she's going to do. You know, she said she didn't have much in savings, not even enough to have her rent for the next month. So mm-hmm. she doesn't know what she's going to do. And she says people are just so mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my heart just went out to that young lady. And so I said that to say, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to, and I talked about it on Saturday, use our anchor
That's
of
right.
prayer.
That's right.
So that we won't drift or get off course.
That's good.
And in Brother Jefferson's case, get off focus.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. So for those of you who are just joining us, we're talking about how essential prayer is. Especially for the believer when we're facing adversity. And many times the enemy will try to play games and tricks on us as we're moving through the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes people become weary in their process
mm-hmm.
and want to give up and throw in the towel and not have fully reached the potential or the place that God has destined for them, because I believe oftentimes it can miss in our struggle and in, mm-hmm. and that which we think is painful to us
mm-hmm.
that we reveal our purpose.
Amen. There's purpose in our pain.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Don't give up in the valley.
That's right.
And it's a shadow of death. It is not death itself.
That's right.
It's a shadow. And with a shadow means that the sun is shining somewhere.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So it's just casting a shadow. So don't get stuck in the valley. Move on through the valley. Amen.
My.
Amen.
I hear you, Reverend. I hear a sermon brewing up in here. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That next scripture you had
mm-hmm.
was James. Did you want me to wait on that one? You had, I think you had something else there, or you wanted me to?
No, that was the next one after.
Okay.
Yes.
What else did I have? James 1 and 5.
Okay, all right.
All right. If any of you lack wisdom,
mm-hmm.
let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I think I was just supposed to read 5, but that 6
verse is verses, really key too.
Yeah, it's really, you know, like a hinge for mm-hmm. that we can't ask wavering. We can't ask saying, God,
give it to God and take it back.
Yeah.
And then we say we go, okay, Monday, and then come Saturday, we about to fall apart.
Saturday, come Tuesday.
I know, right? We about to fall apart.
Yes. So we can't ask, you know, wavering, you know, not believing that God is going to come through for us.
Is that the same scripture that implies about the double-minded man? Is that the remaining portion?
Yes. That's the seventh verse.
Right.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'm sorry, that's the eighth verse. Uh-huh. A double-minded man is unstable in all
right,
his ways.
Right. So we have to be, we have to have resolve, and we have to have the kind of faithfulness, even in the face of adversity,
mm-hmm.
Because if we are double-minded, we're giving to God, we're taking it back, we say one thing today, and the next day we you know, we don't act like we don't even know the Lord, then that's going to be a pattern. But we have to be steadfast in the midst of our suffering, and we have to make sure that we understand that pain is often a part of the process.
Amen.
But we have to continue to trust God and know that he hadn't forsaken us, and that even if you haven't received what you've been asking God to do, maybe he's trying to get something done in you to prepare you for what he has said he would do in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to cultivate that proper relationship, so when the time does come for him to release that which we've been asking him for, we will be ready to handle it. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to drown us. He's trying to teach us how to swim.
Amen.
So that our only plea might be, have thine own way, Lord. I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all giving thumbs up now. Y'all need to help me right through here, because sometimes people feel like they're drowning, and God is really trying to say, no, this is the point where it's time for you to learn how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
And many times that which we fear the most is the thing that God is yet using to perfect us for the blessing that he has in store.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another interesting text that you pulled out of here, and it's from that same book of James, mm-hmm. but the fifth chapter in verse number 16 says,
right.
Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Okay. So that's powerful, isn't it? We know that there's power in our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
And the effectual, fervent prayer
mm-hmm.
of the righteous availeth much. So we have to make sure that we're connected in such a way that we are consistent in our prayers,
mm-hmm.
first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it talks about confessing, there's power in releasing that which you're struggling with,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes it can overwhelm you to the place where you're more getting into a pity party, and you're thinking more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, all of us should have a confidant in terms of just kind of getting proper perspective outside of what we are struggling with, a prayer partner, mm-hmm. if you will. And not a person that's trying to guide you and mislead you based upon their experience, but to encourage you
mm-hmm.
to trust God. And, you know, you'll know when you got the right connection with a person that's trying to speak well over you,
right.
and to try to encourage you and trying to give you guidance and direction and give you positive reinforcement
mm-hmm.
for what you're going through, rather
Amen.
Than somebody who's negative and trying to tell you, well, child, if that was me, mm-hmm. you know.
I wouldn't do that if I
wouldn't
do
that. Right, mm-hmm. right.
No support.
No support.
Yes.
And negativity, no spiritual guidance or, you know, to help you get through your situation.
Right, right.
So we have to confess our faults one to another and know that God will do something powerful in the midst of us, releasing that which is trying to hold us hostage.
Amen. Yeah. And you know, we all have faults
and failures.
And the interesting thing is, we're so busy trying to hide our faults
from
one another and not owning up to our faults.
Right.
You know, everybody makes mistakes.
Absolutely.
Everybody has failures. We're imperfect people serving a perfect God.
That's good.
So we have to fess up, as people say.
That's right. Fess up.
Fess up and say, look, I messed up. I made a mistake. Can you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me through this? And it says, if we do that, we'll be healed.
That's right. That's right.
We'll be healed. And a lot of us are still walking around wounded and sick and hurting simply for the fact that we will not confess. Confess means to say it out loud with your mouth. Your mouth. Tell somebody else, I done messed up. I blew it. We don't confess our faults one to another. And the other thing is, we don't pray for one another.
That's right.
It said confess your fault was number one, but number two, we have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for each other. I understand. I made the same mistake, or I made a mistake similar to it. So I'm praying for you. And once that's done, then we will be what? Healed. That's what
that's
the
right.
word said. We'll be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we're moving right through. We're talking about, we're talking about how important it is for us to understand the power of prayer, especially when facing adversity. You know, it's one thing to, when things are going well, to have a happy-go-lucky attitude. Is that the way they all say it, happy-go-lucky?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Happy-go-lucky. Okay.
Isn't that the way it goes?
It is. Happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. So we're walking around as if everything is...
A-okay.
Yep. No problems. No nothing. Everything is fine. But we have to make sure that even during our good days, we are consistent, and we are, as I believe it was Mr. Shotwell talked about, ceaseless prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Was that
when
she?
Yes.
And how we have to continue to pray. And the Bible encourages us to pray without ceasing and to continue to stay focused in our effort to bring glory and honor to God.
Absolutely. And then the next part, you talked about faith over fear. Faith over fear.
Right.
And so we're going to look at 2 Timothy 1 and 7. I thought I had it, but it flipped off. I touched the wrong thing. 2 Timothy.
That's a familiar one. How we embrace our faith over our fear.
Mm-hmm.
God
has not given us
a spirit of fear.
Yes, for God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Right.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Right.
So we have to put our faith over fear.
Right, right. And see, that's difficult, you know, because the enemy wants to keep us at a place of being afraid and keep us scared to the point where we're not willing to exercise our faith in situations that we know that we are called to walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm.
And we allow what we see in the natural to hinder what God might be trying to get done in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we got to put our faith over our fear and trust God and I think it allows us as believers to know that the adversity will pass, and we will have the courage rather than the fear to continue to stand tall and not grow weary in the process. Because one of the things for sure, we all are going to face some form of adversity, but we have to continue to believe that God's going to see us through. And so here it is tonight, you know, you are here because you trusted God in the past. Just think about that. Just meditate on what he's already done for you.
Mm-hmm.
and not get in such a hurry to start asking him to do more when you're not thanking him for what he's already done.
Hallelujah.
Because God has been faithful.
Yes, he has.
He's been just. He's been merciful. His grace has been extended to us time and time again. And many times when we fall into another situation, we tend to forget about what the Lord has already done.
Amen.
And so we got to praise him for what he's already done before we get in such a hurry trying to ask him to do more.
Amen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times our trust is, our trust in God is the culprit.
Okay.
We're talking about fear not. And I found another scripture, Deuteronomy 31:6.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you.
Okay.
So we have to remember that when we're feeling overwhelmed by our situation, that we have to continue to trust in God.
Okay.
Because
okay.
He's there. He said he'll fight for us.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. All right. Well, our time is getting away from us, Lady Kim. I think you have a couple of more scriptures there. And we have a couple of questions here that we need to, what does this say? I can't see.
Sister Valerie Rankin says, can you answer her question? Revelation 13:3, are we seeing this almost fatal wound be part of what we are seeing today?
Okay.
So
that's not related to prayer though, is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I need to look up.
Yeah.
Revelation 13.
Well, let's do this rather than try to, because we don't have very much time to indulge in that. Let's go ahead and jot that down.
Okay.
And then we can really spend some time. And Sister Valerie, it's good to see you. Not see you, but it's good to know that you're on the call tonight. And if you give us an opportunity to look at that, we don't know if you're going to be on next week or not, but we'll definitely allow that to be a part of our opening discussion on next week as we do some research in terms of giving you some clarity around that particular question.
Okay.
Is
all
that
right.
Good?
Yes.
And our time is getting away from us, and Sister Sharon says that we have to keep our eyes on the prize. Remember, God will not leave us nor forsake us, and we need to continue to, what does the rest of it say?
To pray, sit down, be quiet, listen for that small, still voice from God.
I heard that.
That sounds familiar.
Go sit down. Sit down. That's what you told.
Sit down.
Somewhere.
And be quiet.
And be quiet. And let the Lord fight your battle.
Amen.
He will fight your battles. Won't he do it?
He'll do it.
That's right.
Won't he will?
Yes, he will.
Hey. I know he will.
Glory to God. All
yes,
right,
Lord.
So we have to stand firm in our hope. We got to have resolve, and we have to make sure that our anchors hold and grip the solid rock of Jesus. And we have to continue to get up every morning thanking the Lord and with a spirit of expectancy. That was part of the Sunday school lesson on Sunday. And knowing that God has not forsaken or forgotten about us.
No, he has not.
And he's yet working on our case.
Thank
and so
you, God, for working.
I think as we understand the power of prayer, it enables us as believers to really navigate through those difficult times and difficult challenges in our lives and with faithfulness. And it gives us the determination and the boldness that we need to draw closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look back over your life, we are who we are because we trusted God in those situations where we didn't know how we were going to come out. We didn't know how we were going to make it. But we sought his face and God showed up right on time.
Right on time.
He may not come when you want him to.
Hallelujah.
But we know, I believe I have about 17 people out there who knows
he's
always right on time.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody give God a right on time thumbs up and a
hallelujah
right there, because we're getting ready to close. If there are any prayer requests or any praise reports, we want to receive those, and then we want to make sure that on next week that we entertain that question. Did you get the question?
I did not.
Okay, see if you can still pull that up so we can. We got the scripture, but we need to get the question that she was asking.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank y'all for being a part of the study tonight. And we have two platforms in terms of those who are viewing. We have a stream inside as well as those of you that we can read the comments and see on the Facebook Live side. But we're so grateful for your continued support. And next week, we're going to have another one of the topics. We'll start out with addressing the one from our good friend, Sister Valerie Rankin, down in Pensacola, Florida.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
So we're going to start out with that, and then we're going to move right on through. So it's good to see each of you on the call tonight.
My.
What
yes.
is that? I'm number 14. What is that?
I don't know. Pray. There was a prayer request for Sister Pat Echols.
Mm-hmm. What is number 14, Dr. Seymour? You say I'm number 14?
Okay. Praying for Sister Pat Echols. I did talk to Sister Pat not yesterday, but last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And she assured me she was making progress.
Okay.
Not where she wants to be, but she said she's come a long way. And so we just thank God for that. So we will continue to lift up. She said you need about 17 people to agree.
Oh, okay.
With you.
I got
she was
you.
Number 14.
You were number 14. All right.
All right.
I'm following. I'm with you. But, I might be slow, but I can still glow.
Okay, so yes, Sister Pat Echols, we will continue to lift her up in our prayers. We want to lift up Sister Betty Kelly in the loss of her mother, Bertha Mason. That funeral was last Friday. So lift up Sister Betty Kelly and her family. Minister Al Blanks and his family in the loss of his aunt, Ira Alexander. That service, the memorial service, was held this past Saturday. And then Brother Robert Jefferson and the loss of his uncle, Brother Marion Johnson. And I believe that funeral was in Holly Springs.
That's right.
On this past weekend. And then your family, Dr. Murray, our
mm-hmm.
family, also the evangelist Jeannie Darlene Cleveland, we lost our aunt. Aunt Thelma Murray Myers, and that funeral will be this coming Saturday in Birmingham, Alabama. So we want to lift up all of those prayer concerns, as well as all of those who are on the sick and shut-in list.
That's right.
Of ATOP. And we have family members of ATOP, the ATOP family, as well as our own sick and shut-in. Sister Lena Jackson
right.
was released from the hospital, and so we thank God for Sister Lena being released from the hospital.
Okay.
Amen. We also want to pray for our upcoming election.
That's right.
Amen. We have voter registration cards, so if you are not a registered voter,
like that. Let's see. Does it come out clear? Yeah.
If you're not a registered voter. If you're 18 years old or older and you're not a registered voter, you need to register to vote immediately. We have voter registration cards, or you can go online and register. And this is also for people who need to change their information. If you've changed your address or something has changed, you need to make sure all your information is correct. So when you get to the polls, you won't be turned away.
That's right.
And then we're asking prayers for our capital improvements project that we have coming up. We've asked our congregation to pledge an amount towards our capital campaign. Pledge an amount. Amen. This is over and above your
Make
regular
so
tithes and
regular.
Offerings.
Because we have some people who are out of town and they're not aware.
Yes, and I want our out of town members and viewers and participants, people that are always with us, but people that might not always be with us may want to make a contribution to our capital projects, capital improvement projects. What our capital improvement project is, our women's restroom is in dire need of updating. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make it ADA compliant. That's so right. The wheelchairs can get in, and the railings.
Accessibility.
ADA accessible. And so we have some major needs in the ladies' restroom. And so we're going to ask that you would contribute to that, as well as our digital sign that's out front. Going south on Riverdale, the sign is beautiful. Coming north on Riverdale, a lot of pixels are out. Right. And so when we contacted the company, they let us know that they no longer make parts for that sign. Right. So we cannot replace the parts to get it fixed. We have to replace the whole sign. Isn't that how they do stuff? Soon as your cell phone start acting up, you take it in and see what's wrong with it. They say you got to buy a new phone. Your computer acting up, well, you might as well buy a new computer because it's going to cost too much to get it fixed. So it is with our sign. They do not make parts for the sign. So we have to purchase a new sign. And it is not cheap, okay? It's not cheap at all. So we're asking that you pray about it and you make a significant donation. We're asking people to pledge $1,000. If you can't pledge $1,000 between now and the last Sunday in November, what about $500 between now and November? This is over and above your tithes and offerings. Yes. If you can't do that, what about $300? Over and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. If you can't do that, what about $150 spread out, between now and the last Sunday in November? And if you can't do that, whatever you can do,
that's right,
will be a blessing to this capital improvements project. Those who are members, we're asking you to fill out a pledge card. That just gives us an indication of how much we can count on our members. All right, so don't forget to fill out a pledge card. One of our members said that she signed her name. She said, I printed my name and then I signed my name. Because your name on legal documents. That means you're bound by that. You're bound by that. So thank God for that. And then Sister Sharon asked for prayer for the teachers as this week they get ready to receive the students on next week for Memphis Shelby County Schools as a whole. A lot of changes and transitions have transpired. And so, yes, we most definitely be praying for all of our teachers, all of our administrators, all of our school staff, and for our students who will be returning to school next week.
Absolutely. All right, Lady Kim, will you go ahead and lead us in a word of prayer?
Yes, let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we thank you today. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. We ask, God, that you would just breathe afresh upon us. Most of all, God, we ask that you would meet every person at the point of their need.
Do it, God.
God, we ask that you would touch the bereaved and the grieving hearts today, those that were mentioned and those that were not mentioned. Touch the sick today, especially Sister Pat Echols, and continue to restore health to Sister Lena Jackson and all the others that are on our sick and shut-in list, God. We ask, oh God, that your choicest blessings be upon every school, oh God, every teacher, administrator, bus driver, cafeteria worker, office worker, assistant. God, anybody who works with the school district, God, we ask that you would just bless them and keep them and cover them, oh God. Stay the hand of the enemy that tries to come against them each and every day.
Hallelujah.
And we pray for our students that are getting ready to go back to school, God. Oh God, we ask that you would allow them to have a great school year. And we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We lift up the superintendent to you, Marie Fagans, oh God. Give her direction and directives,
God.
Allow her, surround her with wise counsel, God.
Thank you,
needs wise counsel, oh God. And so we thank you, oh God, that you can do anything but fail. So we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We ask, oh God, your blessings to be upon our capital improvement campaign. We ask your blessings to be upon this voting season, oh God, this election season. And we ask that you would continue to bless us and lead us and guide us as we go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank God and praise him.
Amen. Thank you for being here on tonight. We'll see you on next Monday.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.
Bye.